And now it's time for the Talk of the Nation opinion page. If you're a boomer, almost every day of 2008 has a special dollop of nostalgia just for you. There are the major milestones, the assassinations of Martin Luther King Jr. and Robert F. Kennedy, protests at the Chicago Democratic Convention, and then there are the mini milestones, the anniversary of Hair opening on Broadway, Andy Warhol's shooting by a radical feminist Jackie Kennedy's marriage to Aristotle Onassis, LA Times columnist Megan Daum is sick of these mini markers. She joins us in a moment to cry, enough already, and we'd like to hear from you. What are the 1968 anniversaries you do not need to celebrate? Our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org, and you can join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Megan Daum is a columnist for the Los Angeles Times, and she's with us from the Marketplace Studios in Los Angeles, and it's nice to have you back on the program.
Hi, Neil. Good to be here.
And though these events happened before you were born, you write that you feel like you've lived them over and over and over again already.
Yeah, it's a stroll down memory lane that's starting to feel like a carjacking, is it not? You know, and I'm not the only one. I have to say, I can't take all the credit for this idea. As you mentioned, the LA Times, like many papers, have been running a lot of pieces honoring the 40th anniversary of 1968, and one of the editors there, who's not a boomer, she's a Generation X person like myself, had just seen maybe one too many pieces coming across her desk that were kind of gratuitously reverent about 1968 and all the other things that come along with it. And she said, enough already, let's join forces, or why don't I enlist you to give a reported rant about all of this.
Well, you specifically call out public radio in your piece. What did it for you?
I specifically call out public radio. Oh, I said, I, you guys seem like you would be particularly receptive to this kind of nostalgia, and that's no diss. I think it's a fact. And I said, you know, best case scenario, we would probably be hearing NPR pieces talking, for instance, about the anniversary of Andy Warhol being shot, that sort of thing. But worst case scenario, we could end up with, you know, huge coffee table books, or, you know, maybe even E cable channel specials commemorating the marriage of Jackie and Aristotle, that kind of thing. And is it necessary? I don't think so.
Art house revivals, you worry about films like Rosemary's Baby and Yellow Submarine. And, they're pretty good movies.
Yeah, and you know, here's the thing. You know, there's another pretty good movie that really kind of brought this idea home for me. There's a new movie, relatively new documentary called Young at Heart, and it focuses on a senior citizens chorus in Northampton, Massachusetts. That's where they're based. And the average age of each singer is 80, I believe. And they've been around for maybe 25 years, and they only became famous in the last several years when they stopped singing songs like Yes, We Have No Bananas and Satin Doll and you know, this sort of flapper era ditty. I guess Yes, We Have No Bananas would be the classic example. And they started singing the Rolling Stones and James Brown and the Kinks and the Clash, and they became an international touring act. And it's sort of an awesome thing to behold, but I dare say the music might not have all that much resonance for the singers themselves. And yet the idea is that it's not only music, it's a life force, and that baby boomer music is really important for everyone, and not just baby boomers. And I thought that was an interesting message.
You quote a friend of the program, Joe Queenan, who wrote, they were not the first generation to sell out. They were the first generation to sell out and then insist that they hadn't.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Joe Queenan. And, you know, some of my best friends are baby boomers. So, you know, make no mistake, I'm a big fan of a lot of baby boomers. There are a lot of them out there to be fans of, I think about 76 million. But yeah, I think that sort of hypocrisy tends to be a theme. You know, it's one thing to sort of buy into whatever kind of zeitgeist phenomenon is happening around you and sell a bunch of products around it. And another thing to deny that you're doing that. And I think Joe Queenan and Paul Begala and others have hit on this many times. So it's, you know, even boomers hate boomers. It's not just the rest of us.
We're talking with Megan Daum of the Los Angeles Times. Not a boomer, as you might have suspected. Let's see if we can get some callers on the line. What part of 1968 do you think we might be able to overlook on its 40th anniversary? We'll talk with Rich, and Rich is with us from Detroit in Michigan. Hi, Rich. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of tired of hearing about the Democratic convention in 68. I think we're far from that into a different era entirely. Frankly, I like to know, up here we had the Tigers win the pennant. We had Denny McClain pitch 30 games and win.
He won 30 games. He pitched more than
right.
that.
Right. He pitched and won them. I want to hear positive things. We keep recycling through stuff that isn't necessarily positive.
So, Megan Dahmer, are you expecting to see reissues of Armies of the Night and posters of Abbie Hoffman?
Well, that wouldn't be so bad. I mean, you know, what would be sort of less welcome is, you know, a kind of, you know, perhaps if there was a Broadway musical of The Big Chill. I mean, I don't think, you know, The Big Chill, that's not a 1968 event, but until now, perhaps I have just, the cat's out of the bag now, but it's 25 years old this year. The Big Chill came out in 1983. And that, for a lot of people, is the sort of the uber-boomer kind of cultural moment, a sort of cultural entity that represents everything about the boomers. I mean, it is, I believe it is the film that inspired the television show 30-something. And 30-something is the reason that boomers, even if they're now 60-something, seem to be perpetually in their 30s, which doesn't make any sense. I mean, I'm in my 30s now, and I still feel like I'm 12, which is probably what I was when that show came about. So we're all just kind of stuck here.
Rich, thanks very much, and we hope you enjoy the retrospective documentaries that are going to be blanketing the airwaves come August.
I guess we're going to have to.
Appreciate the phone call. 800-989-8255 if you'd like to join us. Email is talk@npr.org. And let me ask you, Megan Dahm, this is not a new phenomenon. I mean, last year we had all the 1967 anniversaries, and next year, as you point out in your piece, it's going to be Woodstock all over again.
Yeah, I mean, it just keeps going and going. I don't know what the cutoff point is. You know, I mean, and just to be serious here for a second, I think that it's important to recognize that the boomers themselves have fed into this myth that their generation is this monolithic entity, as if, you know, all baby boomers were progressive and they were all rebellious and they were marching at rallies and burning their bras. And I think it's important to remember that for everyone protesting, you know, at Kent State, for example, there were as many, if not more, people who were not. And there were members of the Ohio National Guard who were boomers themselves, who were firing on those other boomers. So I think we need to be careful about the mythology of this generation versus the reality of it. You know, the sort of aesthetic has hijacked the facts to some degree.
Let's get Sophia on the line. Sophia's with us from Cincinnati.
Hi. Yes.
Hi. Go ahead. You're on the air.
I'm happy to be on the air. I lived through Lawn 53, and the psychological change from the 50s to now is due to the boomers. It's due to the Beatles. The Beatles brought the East over. We would not have yoga in this country if it wasn't for this era. So what I wrote in on the email is we are the big wave. We psychologically and spiritually changed this country. And if you lived in the 50s or the 40s, these people can hardly handle the changes we brought on. So I think we can hang out with the boomers for a while until you bring something better. We were the original peacemakers. So tell me what's wrong with that.
Megan Dahm, defend yourself.
Well, I think yoga has been around for a long, long time. I'll have to check that. You know, the boomers brought it back when the boomers were starting to get a little creaky and wanting to open yoga studios on the Upper West Side and in Santa Monica, maybe about 15 or 20 years ago. I think it's important to recognize in some ways this conversation is being had with our tongues and our cheeks. But so much of the reason, yes, the caller is absolutely right. The baby boomers were enormously influential. They were also simply enormous. There are 76 million of them, I believe. And it's really a numbers game. I mean, they could have been into, you know, the Beatles who, by the way, were not boomers themselves. The Beatles are too old to be boomers. But, you know, no matter who was popular at that time, when you have a demographic that is simply this huge, that would become the sort of default cultural influence. And so, you know, it's fun to assume that this was so powerful that, of course, it took over the world. But there were a number of people leading the way, and it has to do with numbers.
And Sophia, I think we can understand how difficult it must have been amid all of those changes by the boomer generation to be in their shadow all of your life. I think she's left us, but anyway.
Okay.
I think that's a valid point. I think some people have commented about that. Anyway, one last caller, and let's see if we get Alex in from Detroit.
Hi.
Go ahead, Alex.
I graduated high school in 1987, and that was just when they started re-trumpeting the anniversary of Woodstock, and I didn't hear anything but that entire year. And I got to say, I think that it's happening to me again. I'm about to turn 40 in a couple of years here, and I have a feeling that it's my parents' generation that are actually going to be getting the focus rather than mine.
Hmm.
I mean, it's.
Are you sure it's your parents?
Well, yeah, more or less. They were the front edge of the baby boomers. And they were, you know, after they were born, the doctor said next.
okay.
But really, it's like, you know what, I'm just kind of sick of it. You know, it's a background noise that's been part of my life since, the end of high school.
It sounds like I better cut off my ponytail, Megan.
Oh, no, I had no idea. See, this is the beauty of radio, if I'd only known.
Again, Mike.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say the tongue in the cheek again.
Right.
I didn't mean to cut the caller off, but, you know, I just wanted to, I think it's important. A lot of people assume that the parents of Generation X people, like myself, for instance, are boomers. But in fact, my parents are a little bit too old to be boomers and really hate the boomers even more than I do. So I know that there's a little group there that was born in the early 40s, you know, late 30s, that really resent being assumed to be boomers, because there's quite a big difference.
They did climb onto that group, though.
Some of them did.
Thanks very much for the call, Alex.
Take it easy.
And Megan, very briefly, I want to switch op-eds with you for a minute. You wrote a piece about the Kumbaya moment a while back. And, well, as we approach, the end game, I guess, in the Democratic presidential primary contests, it's a word we're hearing an awful lot.
Yeah, I did write a column about Kumbaya. It was a couple of months ago now, so I can't quote from myself exactly, but I did notice that the Obama campaign, I don't think they were using the word, but the word was being associated with them a lot, and it just struck me as funny because it was sort of a catch-all for sort of nothing. It kind of had a feel-good feeling to it, but I don't think we've yet figured out exactly what it means.
And
so.
You still haven't heard back from Joan Baez's publicists about her reaction to the craze.
I'm waiting. She's busy. You know, she's got a lot of anniversaries to celebrate this year. You know, it's a big year for her, I assume.
Hey, I expect to see her at the Democratic convention in Denver at this point.
Okay, fingers crossed.
Megan Dom, thanks very much for being with us today.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Megan Dom, a columnist for the Los Angeles Times, with us from the Marketplace Studios in Los Angeles. You can find a link to her piece on Boomer Milestones on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. And if you're not tired of hearing about the 1960s, you can find our series on the events of 1968 and their reverberations 40 years later at our website at npr.org/talk. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.